Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchise entrepreneurs who own one. I'm your host Marty McDermott with my co-host Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're going to be talking and discussing about the Bagger Dave's legendary Burger Tavern franchise opportunity with Michael Ansley, who is one of the largest and most successful Buffalo Wild Wings franchisees in the country, with 14 restaurants in Michigan and 7 in Florida. We're also meeting with a veteran in the franchise community, Bill McClintock, who has played an integral role in the growth of several well-known companies over the course of his 25-year career. And that's coming up on Franchise Interviews. So stick around, because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open? Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hey, Don, welcome back. How are you doing today?
Great, Marty. How are you?
Good, good. Sorry about that. I screwed up on the intro there, didn't I?
I think that might have been the first time ever.
I think so. I've only been doing this how long? 4.5 years? last show done. We had an interesting show last week. We met with Kilwins, didn't we? The Kilwins Franchise
right.
Opportunity. And those guys are in, oh, I guess they started in northern Michigan, and they've been in business a long time, 1947, and earned a reputation for its quality products and excellent service. It says, using the finest and freshest ingredients, their products are a pleasure to sell. They delight in seeing their customers' enjoyment of them. I thought the gentleman did an interesting and very good job at presenting the opportunity. What did you think about last week?
Yeah, I thought it was a great show. Business that's been around for years, and I even said on the show, I mean, that's such a selling point where you can have right in your store pictures of back in the 40s and the 50s, and that the
right.
and that type of business has been around for years. I mean, it really gives the consumer confidence that, hey, I mean, these, look how long they've been around for. It must be good
mm-hmm.
stuff they have in the store. That's kind of how I think. Hey, this place has been around that long, there's a reason for it. And then got into franchising,
yeah.
and there's no doubt that they're going to continue to grow, and it's a nice type of franchise to own. That
right.
If you have a good location, people are coming in, they're happy, they're getting candy and ice cream, and
mm-hmm.
and I don't think they have. I mean, there's competition with a lot of ice cream businesses out there, but I like how they combined, both of them.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was funny, we were talking a little bit about the recession. We talk about it a lot, because, of course, you can't avoid talking about the topic. But there's some studies out there that say that people eat more chocolate and sweets, I guess, when there's a recession, which is kind
right.
of... an interesting kind of survey, for this type of business. I like the fact also with their history, their long history, it kind of adds to, I think, the experience when you go into a Kilwins, doesn't it?
Right.
you were saying, it's this place has been around a very long time, has a long history. It was a great story the gentleman was telling. When you're in franchise development, you go into visit the franchisees. There was one franchisee, Don, I guess it was in, I don't know if it was Chicago, but he could never actually get a chance to talk to the franchisee because they were always so busy, And those are great stories when you hear things like that,
It's a $75 billion industry, $45 billion alone for ice cream. And
amazing.
Yeah, Steve Titus is doing a good, he did a real nice job of, just describing the whole franchise and the past, present, and where it's going. And it was a good show.
It's nice, too, having the customer come to you, isn't it, Don, as opposed to you going out looking for customers. Again, a lot of times
right.
when you're looking to buy a franchise, you're taking this deep analysis on your personality, and you have to ask yourself, what do you like, what are you comfortable with? And some people are more comfortable having the customer come to them. I think, of course, you need to have some type of personality, to, of course, get into this business because you're managing people and you're working with customers. So I think you have to like people. But it's nice to know sometimes that the customers are going to come to you as opposed to you going out and looking for the customers, So
right.
I like that as well. So location is very important, I think, with this type of franchise as well, isn't it, Don? I think there were some interesting locations. What was Steve talking about? Las Vegas.
Yeah,
that was one. I could see these guys in Atlantic City too, right?
Right.
Like in the casinos or perhaps like cruise ships and things like that. It makes sense. But yeah, location is also critical to this business as well. So yeah, I thought Steve did a great job, and it was one of those franchises that kind of it made you hungry after the show. You're craving sweets all day, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, today we're going to be craving some burgers, I think, aren't we? Who do we got on today?
Well, we're having Bagger Dave's Legendary Burger Tavern. I love the name. We're having Michael Ansley, a very large Buffalo Wild Wings franchisee, who's now getting involved
mm-hmm.
with this franchise. And Bill McClintock is going to be on the show, and he's been in franchising for several decades, and he's going to tell us all about
yeah.
Bagger Dave's and how the concept got started and what's happening. So looking to have a couple of franchise pros on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking forward to, learning from those guys as well. So, yeah. And we had some interesting topics, too, that we wanted to get to. Of course, we didn't get to cover everything last week. So,
right.
What do we got this week?
Here's something from the Franchise Times Magazine by Stephen Peace. Franchisee Bill O'Reilly can face tough road to recognition Just as the authors of the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, used the Magna Carta as a blueprint, a small ad hoc committee of coalition of franchisee association members are piecing together a vision statement of their own requesting fairness and franchising. Franchising is an extremely powerful tool, probably the greatest replication tool since Ford invented the assembly line for Model T, says Jim Cohen, a committee member and president of Dunkin' Donuts Independent Franchise Owners Association. I do think a franchise bill of rights is something that could evolve. But first, the framers are seeking input from 200 franchisees from associations both independent and recognized, and tying in language crafted from previous documents written by franchisee associations such as the American Franchisee Association, the International Association of Franchisees and Dealers, Asian American Hotel Owners Association, and the American Association of Franchisees and Dealers. So I guess there's two different of those associations. The concept first needs to gain grassroots endorsement and evolve as franchising is evolving, Cohen says. While this idealistic inroad to establish universal franchisee rights is notable, it might see a fairly substantial roadblock in getting franchisors to sign off on it. That would be a potential avenue for it, for franchisors to endorse the concept and produce the franchise agreements that were considerate of the Bill of Rights, he says. It's kind of interesting.
Wow, interesting. It is.
Charlie Mellington, the International Franchise Association Senior VP of Public Policy and Government Affairs, says the IFA already has a code of ethics to guide members in their business dealings and relationships. Getting the IFA on board with a franchisee association-crafted Bill of Rights is one thing, even if CFA is reportedly considering language in line with IFA's document. The AAFD Franchisee Bill of Rights has been in existence for nearly 20 years. He says he will not endorse the first draft of the Bill of Rights, but his goal is to be able to endorse the final draft without necessarily replacing the AAFD's vision of the premise that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Then there's the question of what is fair and how many agreements already in existence could be deemed so. The basic concern is that not all franchise systems are created equal, Cohen says. Certainly not all agreements are created equal either. But with an established bill of franchisee rights, new franchisees wouldn't be signing agreements blindfolded, Cohen says. It's for the prospective franchisee to be able to determine what's fair and what's not fair. We're trying to create a document that allows a prospective franchisee to know what franchisee associations and other franchisees deem as fair. It's kind of interesting. I mean, you would think the franchise disclosure document, the franchise agreement from each individual franchise system helps protect the franchisee. But I guess, you know, that's probably more for the franchisor. So I guess they're, like with any industry, I guess, you know, they're always trying to protect the consumer or the investor or the buyer of a franchise system, what they're looking to do here. It should be interesting to see what comes about from this. It's, I guess, what Jim Cohen is saying, I guess, the more comfortable the franchisee is in their protection, if there's some type of overriding document, this franchisee bill of rights, I guess that might lead to more buyers and investors into franchises.
Well, yeah, it's like you say, it would make them more comfortable too, wouldn't it? You know, in making that buying decision. And I guess you have to remember too, Don, that you know who's writing, you know, the franchise disclosure documents. You know, is the franchisor is writing it, right? So, you know, of course it's going to be in their favor. You know, so I mean, I think, you know, these agreements are good. In fact, you know, I would love to have Jim Cohen on the show, you know, to talk about this topic as well. I think it's an important topic. If you go back into the history of franchising, Don, you remember when we had John Hayes, and actually Jim might have even told the story, Jim Cohen, when we had him on the show a long time ago. You know, the whole history of franchising. Franchising at one point was getting it was a very bad name. You know, I mean, it was people basically promising the world, saying, you know what, if you buy our franchise system, you know, you'll probably own an island by next year. And a lot of times, in all cases, it never happened. You know, this franchise would just shut down, and it was a bunch of horror stories. So I think it's important that the franchise community protect themselves. You never want franchising getting a bad name, you know. So that's why a lot of times these agreements, you know, disclosure documents are very important to the consumer and I think to the franchisor as well, you know. So,
right.
Which is where I think the franchise rule came about. I think it was 1979. You and I were just kids back then, but...
they're going to unveil this Franchisee Bill of Rights in June, so we'll have
they
to have
are.
A follow-up
okay.
article to see what the reception is and how it goes, yeah.
Well, maybe we could disclose it on the show, you know? It's the day that it's disclosed, so that would be interesting.
So we'll have to keep an eye on that. From the article last week, Franchising Hot as Owners Look to Be Their Own Bosses, for young business people, laid-off professional boomers, not ready to retire, and career switchers, the franchise business model makes perfect sense. And here they talk about one part of this, and this article, by the way, is by Dana Hunsinger Benbow. It's called The Rookie. He's a lifelong military guy, not a lot of retail experience, not much time spent in the business world. But Chuck probably knows his business, Potbelly Sandwich Shop, just about as well as anybody. That's because right behind his house in Chicago was a Potbelly shop. Every day after school, he would take his young son there to drink a chocolate milkshake together. That's my sandwich shop, and I love it, he says, who will open Indianapolis' first Potbelly store early this month. So probably around now,
wow.
He's opening the store. He goes, I fell in love with the brand, and Potbelly fell in love with that area he's in. After all, the company has more than 200 corporate shops, but is new to franchising. He's only the third his store is only the third franchise location. They have 200 corporate stores, so he's getting
okay.
in early as far as the franchising side. He says, we targeted Indianapolis because we believe there's a cult and a core group of Potbelly customers in that marketplace, says Mike Walters, franchise zone manager. We are not in immediate rush to say we need to have 1,000 of these by tomorrow. For Chuck, it's having one shop is a dream for him. I've always wanted to create my own business. I've always wanted to be my own boss. Who likes the flexibility franchising gives him to spend time with his son. He loves the idea of bringing that. And after 20 years in the U.S. Marine Corps, he hasn't a worry in the world about running a shop. At the end of the day, I'm a good leader, he says. I may not have a long history in running restaurants, but I'm a good operations
right.
guy. So this guy's coming in with a lot of confidence.
Quote.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've said that a lot, too. You know, we talked about the theory of, you know, do people who have served in the military make better franchisees? I don't say better franchisees, but sometimes more qualified franchisees. Can they follow the system better, you know, compared
right.
to, you know, someone who perhaps hasn't served in the military? Not always, but, you know, it's kind of an interesting theory to talk about. And it's important he goes in with that confidence as well, Don. So.
And he's, you know, I mean, yeah, this is the American dream for people. I guess that's what franchising does. It's, you know, as long as you're choosing the right franchise and you've thought through the process of, you feel that you can run this type of business or service. It's
right.
It's a long-term relationship. You got to really do your due diligence and look deep inside yourself to see if you want to do this type of work. It's not going to be easy. I mean, for
right.
this guy, he's only the third franchisee, even though they have a couple hundred locations. So that was probably
right.
his selling point. He loved the brand himself, probably has a good location. He knows corporate has a few hundred locations. They're doing well. Hopefully did his full due diligence and spoke to, you know, the top top executives at the franchise and had a comfort level
yeah.
and was willing to make the investment. And hopefully it works out for him. It would be nice to, you know, own, you know, several locations and, you know, just like the franchise we're having on today. I mean, you know, I'm sure that these franchise systems want people who are thinking on the bigger side and want to have multiple
right.
locations and,
exactly.
and set their family up nicely. And I think most people know there's no, you know, there's no shortcuts in life. You're going to have to work hard to build it. But with franchising, it gives you that. And it was funny when we had on we had on Michael Gerber. He brought up that the example he likes to use with franchising. You start off on third base. You remember he talked about that again?
Yeah, it was you mean George Native, right?
Oh, right, George Native, yeah.
You know, which both those guys are in the same league, Michael Gerber, George Native. But, yeah, it gives you the chance to start off on third base. And that was a great analogy, wasn't it? Because he didn't say a home run, you know, because it's not a home run every single time. But, you know, if you have
right.
your choice of starting off on third base or first base, which one would you rather start off on, you know?
Right.
Most people are always going to say third base, you know. I mean, this really is the American dream for this fellow that you're talking about, Don. You know, he has no business experience whatsoever.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, franchising seems it's a perfect match, but, you know, for the perfect opportunity for him to get into something like this, you know. It sounds like he's very passionate about the brand, too, which I think is important, isn't it? You know,
right.
Not to necessarily say that you have to love, you know, the product, but I think sometimes, you know, maybe that comes across, you know, in when he's in the store one day, you know, he'll be talking about how he went there when he was a little, you know, boy or something like that, or he went to have a milkshake with his family or something like that. So it's just it really is a great story of the American dream, and that's what franchising has done, you know. And we've referenced so many of those stories, haven't we?
Right. And the article has a picture of him and his son. They're both smiling outside their, you know, I guess where their shop's going to be, so hopefully it works out for him, you know.
Yeah. No, it's a great story. I love when I hear stories like that. You know, it's just, it's inspirational.
Right.
So good job, Don. Why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break. I see our guest Michael and Bill has called in, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews. Good job, Don.
Big mouth!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team,
Big Mouth,
as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews. We're asking the franchisepreneurs of one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're going to be discussing the Bagger Dave's Legendary Burger Tavern franchise opportunity with Michael Ansley, who is one of the largest and most successful Buffalo Wild Wings franchisees in the country, with 14 restaurants in Michigan and 7 in Florida. We're also meeting with Bill McClintock, who is a veteran in the franchise community, who has played an integral role in the growth of several well-known companies over the course of his 25-year career. Hi, Michael. Hi, Bill. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Gentlemen, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Michael and Bill.
Hey, Michael. Bill, appreciate you coming on. Very excited to hear about the franchise. And as I said on the show earlier, I'm not sure if you were listening, I called you guys franchise pros. Does that put too much pressure on you?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Michael, I thought I'd start off with you. And, you know, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your background before becoming involved with Bagger Dave's, and then we'll jump to Bill.
Okay. I became a franchisee with Buffalo Wild Wings back in 1996. In Ypsilanti, Michigan, with my college roommate. Back then it was BW3. Pretty much learned, you know, where not to put a restaurant as far as location, and it was a three tough years of learning the business. But luckily it all worked out, and now the current company, as you already said, operates 21 Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's fantastic.
We now have 4 Bagger Dave's open and operating.
That's great. That's great. And Bill, yourself, you're considered a veteran in the franchise community. I've had the opportunity, Bill, of meeting you a couple times at franchise shows, and not to date you, but I know you've been doing this a long time. I think this was over 25 years in the franchise community.
That's correct. It's been. I love franchising. It's a great way to expand a brand. And I started franchising back in the late 80s out on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
With a regional concept out there, and the last 15 years I've really focused on the restaurant side of franchising. It's been about 10 years, a little over 10 years, I guess, with Buffalo Wild Wings doing their franchising and franchise real estate, and that's where I met Michael, and we've been good friends since then. So it's I love the concept of franchising. It's a great way to grow a business.
That's great.
So tell us a little bit about Bagger Dave's Legendary Burger Tavern. Bill, maybe when did it start, and what was the vision for it?
Well, Bagger Dave's, I know Michael, of course, has been involved with it from day one. I've been following Bagger Dave's for the last 3 or 4 years since it started, and of course been good friends with Michael that time and watched him develop it. I was attracted to Bagger Dave's because not only is the food good, of course, in the restaurant business, you should have good food, but I like the breadth of the menu. We go way beyond the burger concepts, which are very popular today on the Better Burger segment, and we get into a lot of other good foods, but we also match that with a full-service concept, and we also have the bar element. So I think Michael's done a great job putting it together. In that niche, just beyond fast casual, but short of casual dining, I think there's some room there to grow and do some really good things.
And, Michael, Marty and I are seeing that this particular segment of, burger franchises is really becoming popular the last few years. What's your thoughts on just, the industry, and how's Bagger Dave's going to, become a leader?
Well, the burger industry obviously has always been popular in America, and I think it's 14% of all food sales. So we were looking back in 2006 at that I guess the fast casual burger segment was just going to evolve. And it seemed like they were a step above the fast food players. But yet the service model, obviously, was self-serve. So taking our experience from, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings, when BW3 Buffalo Wild Wings was more of a counter-service concept, and then we were one of the first franchisees to actually roll out full service with that concept. We took that and applied it to the burger segment, and we obviously knew how to operate bar side of the business, so we looked at specializing in craft beers, which have become very, very popular, and a nice selection of wine. We do have some liquor, but it's mostly beer and wine. And we implemented that type of thing in a full service environment, and we tried to focus on the integrity of the food, making sure that was fresh. We know that the millennials, Gen Y, really like customization. So about 74% of our guests actually build their own burger. We have some real neat options for them. We tried to differentiate the concept by developing sauces that were unique to the Bagger Dave's experience, which differentiates us. And that's how it evolved. We only have we don't have any walk-in freezers. It's a walk-in cooler. It's fresh food. It's been a lot of hard work. We've developed a unique marketing strategy, and we have distribution in place, and we're pretty excited about where we're at.
I mean, a real entrepreneur. I mean, you have, you know, a bunch of the Buffalo Wild Wings, and I mean, you know, most people would just be, you know, satisfied with that and keep growing, adding to your, you know, to your current brand. So, you know, what's your thought process? Is it just your entrepreneurial background to want to, or just to stay fresh and just want to get involved with some other type of food category?
Well, there's, I'm still fairly young. I just turned 40 in March. We've got a very, very young organization. We have a unique culture. A lot of the people with our company have been with us for basically 10, 11 years, looking for, you know, career paths of their own. And we wanted to differentiate, diversify the company. I mean, Buffalo Wild Wings is nice, but we're a franchisee. You never know in the future, you know, what might happen there. Plus, we're very reliant on chicken. So we were looking at something, obviously, in a different segment that would diversify the company. And then using our experience as being a franchisee and seeing things through a franchisee perspective, we thought it was a good time to develop our own concept.
Right.
That's interesting. Bill, it must be exciting for you, too, to get involved with something new. You would never remember, but when I met you in Orlando back in, I think it was 1999, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings was, I guess you could say, pretty young back then, you know, and it was amazing watching, you know, because I've watched the company grow significantly over the years, you know, so I guess this must be exciting for you as well.
Oh, it was incredible. I came there in Buffalo Wild Wings in 1997. They had approximately 50 restaurants, and we weren't sure at that point whether we could take it beyond the regional concept. Steadily built the brand. We tried to put the foundation under it the right way for franchise growth by selecting the right operators that have food background and the ability to open restaurants on time. But even then, we weren't looking at big picture. We weren't looking at any idea where it would be today. We just tried to open one good restaurant at a time. And what I think Michael and I have agreed to do is let's do Bagger Days the right way. Let's find food operators who know how to run restaurants, who know how to open restaurants on time, and let's put a very franchisee-friendly FBD together, and let's go see what we can do. There aren't any guarantees in business. On the other hand, it's very refreshing to be able to structure a franchise correctly from the beginning rather than have to go in and fix things that are already broken.
Exactly. And maybe you guys can expand on that, too, as far as – so it sounds like your ideal franchisee is someone that, of course, has restaurant experience. Anything else, I mean, as far as what you look for in a franchisee?
Well, there's three things that are the three legs of the stool that I think any franchise company should look at. One, especially in the food business, is one is the background in food. Not everyone should be running restaurants. You need to have a passion for food, a passion for the craziness of running restaurants, And if you have that, it's wonderful. We also look, obviously, for a financial capability of accessing capital to open restaurants. And the third leg of the stool, sometimes the hardest, is the developmental skill to open restaurants on time, because nobody makes money till the restaurant opens, so let's get it open on time and see what we can do. So it's exciting for me to be doing this with Michael and his group at this point, because we think we've got a good horse to ride.
That's interesting. What about the location? What's the ideal location, and how much space is actually required to open up a Bagger Days?
Let me have Michael take that one, because he's selected all the locations to this point.
You know, the average size, we're looking at about 4,000 square feet, and we'd like to have about 150 seats, mostly end cap positions and shopping centers, potentially retrofitting, potentially an old standalone restaurant. There's quite a few available out there. We're actually looking at a big boy up in Grand Rapids, a little bigger than we'd like, so we're going to tear down a portion of it, but we're getting in on a bank short sale. But we're looking for markets that have strong retail, strong office, and strong residential, because Bagger Dave's, we're seeing a good mix. We're getting about 40% lunch, 20% middle of the day, and 40% dinner. And I think that lends itself to the fact that we have full service in a bar.
And what's the experience? I guess, you know, people nowadays, they having great food and good price is great, but people like kind of the experience of, and that's why they'll keep coming back. Well, you know, what happens when someone walks into a Bagger Days? What is it that they see, and why is it really, you know, going to be successful, Michael?
Well, the thing's evolved, but it's we have cherry paneling, which, you know, today people typically do a wainscot and typical drywall from that point on. We're actually putting a very, very rich interior together with, we have local sepia prints that we get through the local historical societies. We've worked with the University of Michigan Library. We're working with Michigan State's Library on a new location that we'll be doing up in East Lansing. So I think it identifies with the community. They walk in, they see historical photos from their particular community. We also have a train, an electric train that's about 8 feet high. In the main dining room, very, very tactfully done. It tends to keep the kids' attention, especially in the evening, so dad can enjoy themselves. We hear that over and over from our customers.
Sounds very nice.
Moving into the bar area, there's a nice copper bar, and we have some plasma televisions. We don't necessarily focus on the TVs, but they're there. It's just a nice, warm atmosphere, and people seem to really, really like it.
It's important. And what role has technology played, Michael, in this business?
We actually are moving into it pretty aggressively. We have some pretty sophisticated business intelligence software that we've our CFO, David Burke, has rolled out since he came over from Federal Mogul. We can pull data from all of our Buffalo Wild Wings, Bagger Dave's, I mean, to the hour on how we're doing, labor, cost of sales, menu mix. The franchisees are going to be able to use that system. It's called C2IT. It's pretty powerful. That will also pull the numbers from the franchisees once they are established, so they won't necessarily have to key in their sales numbers every night. Another product that we just rolled out this week is online ordering. We invested a lot of money in that. It is a pretty robust system. It actually, when you go online on baggerdaves.com and you place your order, it goes directly to our POS system. So it's not necessarily a fax-generated online ordering system.
Right.
It's POS-driven. So we took out the human error factor.
Right.
It keeps the data, the credit card data, as far as the customer and what their order is. So the next time they go, they can pull up their old order and send it right in. It's actually pretty cool. We actually took a good look at California Pizza Kitchen, Jimmy John's, Chipotle, Specialties Cafe in San Francisco, and we modeled our system after all of those. We found those to be the most successful or well-designed ones in the marketplace, so we wanted ours to mimic, you know, that type of ease of operation. So that just rolled out. We're pretty excited about it. We think it's going to help drive our carryout business.
Wow. Yeah, the technology is amazing, isn't it, Don? You know, when we hear about, you know, these stories about everything that's going on with the technology of, you know, something just like this, and it's interesting. I guess if an order got screwed up, you can blame the customer then, right? You don't have to worry about the human error aspect, you know, because they're putting it in. So it's it is truly amazing. So, Michael, what do you like most about this business and this industry? I mean, if I spoke to you 20 years ago, I mean, did you see yourself doing something like this and becoming so successful with everything that you've done through franchising?
I would have never envisioned being where I'm at today. It's been a lot of hard work. I can tell you all kinds of stories. Bill knows several of the stories and things I've gone through trying to get locations opened. It's what I like. I'm always learning something new, always. It's such a fast-moving business. And you're involved in everything from my perspective. I'm involved in real estate. I'm involved in marketing. I'm involved in, you know, operating the stores. You see all this new technology. Constantly learning more and more and more. And I also like, you know, feeling, you know, it's fun from my perspective to see a guy that was working in the kitchen 10 years ago is now our chief operating officer.
Of course, absolutely.
It's very powerful to see your employees evolve and their lives get better and their careers, advance.
Right.
I enjoy that.
And, Bill, being involved in a couple, you know, franchises from the early stage, you see some similarities or you see, I guess you see an advancement with Bagger Dave's, much more potential maybe to grow quicker than maybe a system of like 20, 25 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah, it has the potential to grow. What we've agreed to do is focus on doing it the right way. We're only franchising currently in the upper Midwest. You see a lot of companies that have good PR releases about growing 100 or 150 restaurants a year. Sometimes they aren't around in a few years because they simply couldn't handle that kind of growth. So we're growing in the upper Midwest through franchising. As I mentioned earlier, there are certain groups that we're discussing area development with them. But we want to keep it done at the right level, and we want them to open successful restaurants rather than just the quantity of them. We'll ramp up a little bit as we go through the years, and we'll, of course, advance into additional states. The beauty, I think, of franchising is seeing people who started their restaurants work very hard and seeing them accumulate a lot of assets and also provide a career path for their key people. That's what I've loved seeing that over the years. So it's a great way to do business.
Yeah, we were talking about a story earlier, Bill and Michael, about a gentleman. He was in the military. What was it, like 20 years, Don, 25 years? And I guess he wanted to go into, you know, a business or own his own business, but had no business experience, and franchising was a good match for this particular gentleman. It was really like an inspirational story, you know, talking about it, the American dream, you know, to be able to do that through franchising. We've referenced hundreds of those stories, you know, throughout the 4 years of doing this show, so it is truly exciting. It was interesting, Don, how Michael was emphasizing the hard work aspect too, wasn't it? You know, that, you know,
right,
this is going to be hard work. You know, I think a lot of our listeners, sometimes they have a misperception that, you know, you kind of just open up a franchise and everyone comes. And it's not that at all, is it, Michael and Bill?
The way I look at it is if somebody has passion for anything they want to do in life, they'll probably be successful at it. And in franchising, we look for people who are trainable, that have entrepreneurial spirit. Sometimes in being a true entrepreneur, you maybe shouldn't be involved with franchising. You probably should do something on your own.
Right.
If you have an entrepreneurial spirit and you're teachable, I think, and you have a passion for whatever you're doing, you'll probably be a great franchisee.
Yeah, well said. Absolutely. Gentlemen, we have to take a quick break. Can you guys stick around for another segment?
Sure.
That's great. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews. Thank you.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open? Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews. We're asking the franchisepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. If you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today we're discussing the Bagger Dave's Legendary Burger Tavern franchise opportunity with Michael Ansley and Bill McClintock. And, Don, I think you're up.
Michael, tell us a little bit about, training for the new franchisee. And then maybe, Bill, you can add a little bit to that, too.
Well, we've got a, I guess somebody that's going to head up the training. Her name is Jamie Kane, and she's actually been the general manager that's opened all four of our corporate locations as a general manager. And she'll be heading up that campaign, and they'll spend about 3 weeks in one of our restaurants with her, learning how to manage and operate and do pretty much every facet of the business, at least their operating people will. And
right.
From there, we'll go down and we'll probably spend about 2 weeks in their restaurant, helping them get their restaurant open and then operating it after it opens. We've got all of our training manuals done, our spec sheets done, and pretty much the distribution is set up as well. So.
And Bill, what else is interesting about the training process?
Well, as Michael mentioned, one of the key factors is at the opening. As you guys know, when restaurants are getting ready to open, it's a pretty crazy time. And the franchisee, especially their first restaurant, even though they have other brands with food, the first restaurant with your brand, it's always a pretty stressful time the week before opening. And whenever those opening teams show up from the company, that franchisee, a lot of stress comes off of them, and they kind of relax, and then they can go ahead and get the restaurant opened on time. We do stick around in an additional week to help them fine-tune after the restaurant's open, any loose ends that might be there. And I think that's a key part of training typically training would occur from the 3 weeks of training would begin about the time construction starts on the restaurant, and then they'll go back just a month or so before the restaurant opens and go ahead and start their hiring. So training should lead right up to the opening, and so they'll be ready to have a great opening.
And then we have a plethora of operations people that'll also be there to support, including myself. I plan on attending the first few openings, and we're going to throw everything at the first few franchisees. We really, really want them to be successful. So.
So, Michael, what advice would you give to our listeners as far as their quest for buying a franchise? What would you say to them?
Well, they really, really need to do their due diligence. They need to spend some time in whatever restaurant or franchise they're looking at. We hope it's Bagger Dave's. They need to make sure that they have a support system in place with their family, because it's going to be a lot of long hours. They need to take a hard look at their market, real estate, because I've learned the hard way in this business, location, location, location. And then from there, you know, once they become engaged with a franchise or a restaurant concept, they really need to take the training serious. Because if they don't, you know, it could get ugly. But it's a process, and they need to be prepared those first few years. They aren't always the easiest, but we're looking for experienced operators that, you know, will understand that, will understand the risk, will understand the hard work that goes into it.
Mm. And, Bill, what would you say, again, you know, doing this over 25 years?
Well, one of the advantages, I think, with Bagger Dave's is that even though we have a full bar in the restaurant, you're not operating that bar until 3 o'clock in the morning. Typically, the restaurants for Bagger Dave's will close around 10 or 11 o'clock. There's a quality of life issue here on your late-night managers that are getting home every night at 3 o'clock in the morning. So with Bagger Dave's, I think there's a little better quality of life than would be in the standard bar operation. One of the advantages I think we're going to have, and we've put this in our current FDD, is the initial area developers that we select to do Bagger Dave's in the upper Midwest. There's going to be some significant developer incentives in the FDD, including up to 1 year of royalty waiver for these initial operators. And I think it's important for a young brand that's starting out in the right way to work with their early developers and do some of these incentives to help them be successful as we all build the brand together. So we're doing some pretty unique things in the franchise industry with this FDD, and I'm pretty excited about that part of it.
That's a nice incentive, someone starting out worried about overhead, worrying about customers, and hoping it all comes together. One less thing to worry about, giving them the opportunity to build up their client base and sales and so forth. So, that's a nice, a real nice incentive.
Well, it's about shared risk, and given the lending environment the last few years, I think we put this together in such a way that we'll share some of the risk early with the franchisees. They're going to be the leaders of the franchise part of Bagger Dave's, so we're looking for top-notch operators to do this, and I think it's the right thing to do.
I mean, you know, what do they say? You're only as good as your franchisees, and they are partners, and, if you show them the confidence to put that in play, that'll make them feel better.
Absolutely. Bill, what's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Are there any websites they can go to?
Yes, baggerdaves.com is the place to go. There's a lot of franchise information, and they can contact me directly from the baggerdaves.com website.
That's fantastic. And I want to thank both you gentlemen again. You've been fantastic guests, and Don and I would love to have you guys back and back next year as you guys continue to grow.
Thanks,
gentlemen.
Thank you.
It's a great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, it's a newer franchise concept, something in such a competitive industry like food in general, you know, let alone just their specific category they're in. But I guess, like I said before, these guys are franchise pros. They've been doing it. They know what it takes. They're going to grow slowly and do it the right way and have the franchisees be happy. And So I'm sure that, you know, there's good things in store for him.
Well, it's an important part of franchising, too, is one is look towards the experience of, you know, the team that you're going to be working with, you know. And,
right.
Again, these gentlemen have been doing this a long time now, so that's important. That technology is amazing, too, you know, when they were talking about that. I like the whole interactivity, you know, of being able to, like, you know, create your burger and all that other stuff, you know. So it's, I'm looking forward to when they get to Pennsylvania, you know. It's going to be nice, you know. So we'll keep our eye on them and have them back. So good job, Don, and we have another great show next week.
We do. We'll keep rolling them out as usual.
So go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchiseworldradio.com, gofranchise.com, franchisefunding.net, and I'll talk to you next week, Don.
Great, Marty. Good job. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Take care.